Please open up with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This morning and this afternoon, I'd like to spend a few moments in Ephesians chapter 1. And looking at some of the blessings that we as believers have in Christ Jesus. And so this morning I'd like to look at the blessing of adoption. And then this afternoon, Lord willing, we'll be looking at the blessing of redemption and the blessing of forgiveness. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, and I'd like to read verses 3-8. 3-8.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of his glory of his grace, which he freely bestows on us in the Beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do ask that as your word is opened, as your word is declared, Father, that you would be glorified, that your Son would be highly exalted. We ask, O God, that your Holy Spirit would give strength to the preacher, that he would enable me to preach with clarity and with soundness, that your name might be highly exalted. And Father, we pray that you would help all of us to hear your word, to listen to it, and then to apply it into our lives and to live it out each and every day. Father, may you be glorified, both now and forever. Through Christ's name we pray. Amen. As a child, did you ever want to be part of someone else's family? Think back with me for a moment. Some of you might take a while. Others of you might be an instant. But think back to that time when you were a kid. Did you ever want to be with some other family? Did you think their parents were cool and your parents weren't? Did you ever have that attitude about your family? Or maybe it was the other way around. Maybe your friends thought your parents were the coolest parents around. Think about it. Was that ever your disposition? Did you ever experience that? Well, this morning I'd like to look at a blessing that God blesses with, adoption. And we're going to look at what adoption is, then we'll see how adoption is possible, the purpose for which we are adopted, and then the privileges of being adopted. So what is adoption? How is it possible? What is its purpose? And what are its privileges? So what is adoption? Well, among men, adoption is dealing with a couple of different groups. Adoption deals with someone who is a stranger to another people. Someone who is not the children of the one who would be adopting. Adoption among men involves a couple, and I'm just going to stick with the general understanding of adoption. I know our society has twisted it, so I'm not going to get into the ins and outs of that. But we're a married couple, for whatever reason, either they cannot have children or they have a desire to bring other children that are not their own into their family where they can care for them and where they can love on them. And in adoption, what takes place is that when one is
adopts a child into their home, they treat him as their own. Well, how does that translate then into the adoption with God? What is adoption concerning with God? Well, when we look at the scriptures and we look at what we were, what as Christians we were, we get to see this image. Well, what do the scriptures say that we were? Well, if we were to jump over a chapter in Ephesians, to Ephesians chapter 2, there are a couple of things we see about what we were. Ephesians 2:3. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath. Children of wrath, even as the rest. What were we? We were children of wrath. Later on in that same chapter, verse 19, Paul writes this, "So then you're no longer strangers and aliens." So we were strangers to God's household. We were aliens to God's household. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul describes the kingdom that we once lived. He describes it as the dominion of darkness. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So we were strangers, children of wrath, living in the dominion of darkness. And what did God do? And what did God do? He gave us all the rights and privileges of the sons and daughters of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. I must have typed that wrong. Forgive me, but I'll pass on that. Sorry about that. I checked these references this morning, and I must have had a typo somewhere there. But what did God do? So we were strangers. We were children of wrath. We were living in the dominion of darkness. And what does God do? He gives us all the rights and privileges of the sons and daughters of God. So very similar to our understanding of adoption, where in human adoptions, a child is a stranger to another, and that one takes that one into their home. Well, let me give some formal definitions here. From our catechism, we read this, that adoption is an act of God's free grace. See, even a child can't make himself the legal child of some parents. Those parents must act. They must bring that child into their home. And so, too, with biblical adoption is an act of God's free grace. And we'll talk a little bit more of that in a moment when we talk about how it is possible. But adoption is an act of God's free grace. God is the one who does it, whereby we are received into the number and have all the rights, to all the privileges of the sons of God. So we're adopted into God's family, God's household. And we now have those rights and those privileges of being the sons and daughters of God. Sam Waldron defined adoption this way. He says, adoption is a change in legal status from that of a slave to that of a son of God, which takes place by faith at the moment of union with Christ, but will be publicly revealed at the resurrection. So he brings out the point that adoption is a legal change from being a slave to being a son. And that's what we were. We were slaves to sin. So how is it possible? How is adoption possible? How is it possible that we are received into the number and can be called one of the sons of God? How is this possible? Again, looking at our text in Ephesians, what does Paul write? What does he say about the source of this adoption? What does he say about why it is, how it is possible? So how is it possible? First, we're going to look at the source. Second, we're going to look at the grounds. And thirdly, we're going to see how it is received. So how is possible? First, the source. The source. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will. The kind intention of his will. To the praise of his glorious grace, he freely bestowed us in the beloved. So the source of adoption is God's love and God's grace. We cannot merit this love. We cannot earn this love. And it's not because there is something in us that is lovely. But it's according to his purpose, the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glory. We can't merit it, and there's nothing in us that makes us worthy of it. He predestined us. He predetermined it according to the riches of his grace. Stuart Arliott put it this way: adoption is not a reward for holy living. God adopts wrongdoers. He enriches failures. He makes rebels his heirs. What grace? Grace that is greater than all our sin. Remember what we were. Strangers, children of wrath, living in the dominion of darkness. And then God adopts us while we're in that state. So the source of it is God's love and God's grace. We see this in 1 John, in 1 John chapter 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. Why are we called children of God? Because of the great love that the Father has bestowed upon us. So the source of adoption is God's love and God's grace. What is the grounds? What is the grounds? Adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, Paul writes in Ephesians 5, through Jesus Christ. And then in verse 6, in the beloved, which is speaking of Christ. The grounds of our adoption is Christ Jesus. It is through him that we are adopted into the family. It's because of what he has done. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So Christ came into the world so that we might receive the adoption as sons. He was born under the law. He lived and died there on the cross so that we might be adopted as sons. Christ is the grounds of our adoption. So how is it possible? First, because of God's love and grace. Secondly, because of the work of Christ, because of what Christ has done. Well, how do we receive adoption? We receive adoption by faith and repentance. Faith and repentance being gifts from God. Galatians 3:26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So by believing in Christ, by resting in Christ and trusting in Him alone for your salvation, it is through faith in Christ that you are sons of God. It's not through merit, not through works that our hands have done, but it's simply through faith in Christ. So how is it possible? It's possible because of God's love and grace, the grounds being the Lord Jesus Christ, and we receive it by faith and repentance. Faith being that assent of understanding of the gospel, that Jesus Christ is the one who came into the world to save sinners. It's embracing that gospel. It's agreeing that what God has to say about you and about Christ and salvation is true. And it's about resting and trusting in Christ and Him alone to save you from the wrath to come. It is by faith that we receive the adoption of sons and daughters. Well, for what purpose? For what purpose does God adopt us? For what purpose does He adopt us? Again, our text in Ephesians says, to the praise of the glory of His grace. We are adopted so that we might glorify God, so that we might praise Him, so that we may declare to the world His kindness and compassion and His goodness and His love, His justice and His holiness. We are adopted so that we might glorify Him. After all, is this not our primary purpose? Is this not our chief end? As the Westminster Catechism puts it, what is man's chief end? Or what is man's primary purpose? I saw that as an updated version many years ago. What does that mean? To have a purpose. What is one's primary purpose? I remember telling the story, a toaster. What's the primary purpose of a toaster? Toast bread, right? Okay. If you put marshmallows in a toaster, what would happen? No, you don't toast marshmallows in a toaster. You toast them over an open fire on the end of a stick. See, everything has a purpose. And we have a purpose as well. And it is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's our purpose. So when God adopts us, the purpose is so that we would glorify Him. So that is our purpose in adoption. That is the purpose in adoption. Well, what are some of the privileges of being adopted as children of God? What are some of the privileges of being adopted as children of God? Well, here we're going to look at first some of the blessings we receive, and then we're going to look at what God does as a father, and then finally what we are to do. We're going to look at the blessings we receive as children of God, see what God does as a father, some of the things, and then some of the things that we are to do as children of God. The blessings we receive as children of God. One is that we're incorporated into God's family. We're incorporated into God's family. I read this verse already in Ephesians 2:19. But the verse ends, you're no longer strangers, but you are citizens, fellow citizens with the saints, and are of God's household. God's household. We're now a part of His home. The Scriptures tell us that we, as part of being part of God's family, we're made partakers of the grace of adoption. We're taken into the number. We become one of his children. How many children does God have? You know, sometimes being part of having a large family, sometimes, I admit it, I don't know if any of you ever else have done this, but I sometimes mix up children's names, right? Have you ever done that? No. My parents named every girl in the family with a J. It was four girls. Can you just imagine mixing up those names pretty easily? Jamie, Jen, Julie, whatever your name is. I was the only boy, so that never really happened, though my mom has called me by my dad's name in later years. But you know what's amazing? God knows the name of every one of his children, and he never mixes them up. How does he do that? Well, we know, because he is God, right? But isn't that amazing to think for a second? If we can't even remember the names of all our children sometimes, isn't that truly amazing how God remembers them all? So we're taken into the number. We enjoy the liberties and privileges of being children of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, indeed we suffer with them so that we may also be glorified with them. We're heirs and co-heirs. We have the privileges of being the children of God and enjoy the liberties that are contained therein. You see, a slave does not have the same privileges as a son. When it was not part of a family, my neighbor's kid just can't walk into my house, eat my food, and use the bathroom. I mean, he just can't do that. He has to knock and ask permission. Whereas my children, well, they just can't go in the fridge and eat food, but they freely eat my food, and they use the bathroom and the other facility. Why? Because they are part of my family. They have those liberties and those privileges. So too, as we are children of God, we enjoy those privileges that come with that. The scriptures describe at how his name is put on us. Pastor's been preaching through Revelation, but in Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, it talks about how God's name is put on them. Revelation chapter 3, and verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God and my new name. So we're given the name of God. God puts his name on us. Well, and so too, we see this happen in adoption, generally speaking. A child is given the last name of the family that they're adopted into. So the blessings that we receive as children of God, we're incorporated into the family of God. And then we also have, secondly, the reception of filial disposition. So we're received as children, and we receive the spirit of adoption. So not only we're positioned legally, but we're also given the spirit of adoption, which Paul talks about in Romans 8:15. For you not receive the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you receive the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. So we have access to the throne of grace. As children, we can approach our Heavenly Father. We can cry out. What a thought to think that because of adoption, one of the blessings we receive is we can call the one who has created all things, created every single thing, who by his hand upholds and governs all of creation. He is most holy, in which the angels have to cover their eyes in his presence. This God, the living and true God, we can call our Father. Think about that. Isn't that amazing? And this is one of the blessings we receive as children of God, that we can call him our Father. So these are some of the blessings. The blessings we receive as children of God, we're incorporated into the family of God, which means we're all brothers and sisters, right? Language we use. My brother and sister in Christ, this relationship as siblings will last for all eternity, right? That will never end, never cease to be. You'll always be our brothers and sisters. So we're incorporated into the family of God. And we also have the reception of filial disposition. That means we are children. We have now that disposition of being the children of God. Well, what does God do as a father? What does God do as a father? In adoption, what does he do? In the Psalms, in Psalm 103, listen to the language that the psalmist used. Psalm 103 and verse 13. Now this is a psalm of David. And he says this, "Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." God as our Father has compassion on us. Some translation says pity. But he has compassion for us as a father towards a son. Going through difficulties, going through a tough time and a moment in your life, well, you're the God in whom you serve is like a father, and he has compassion. He's unlike any father. Because it might be that you had a father who wasn't compassionate, or sometimes was sometimes compassionate, but God is compassionate unlike any other. So God is a compassionate father. To his children, he defends them. He defends and protects them. Ultimately, from the dominion, the principalities. But he defends them. But as a father, as we like the idea of him being compassionate and him defending, but sometimes as our father, he also chastens. But he chastens in love. The writer of Hebrews brings this out in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. Speaking of God, he says, For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. So as a father, he sometimes disciplines, sometimes chastens his children. Fourth thing he does as a father is that he cares. He cares. He cares for you. Jesus talks about that he's talking about why are you worrying, my disciples, about the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, how God takes care of them, how much more valuable are you than they? He cares for you. And sometimes that's tough to believe, isn't it? Because of the hardship maybe that you're going through, the worries of this world. But you know, you can cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Cast your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. I just mentioned four things that God as our Father does to us, his children. But remember these things. He's compassionate towards his children. He's compassionate to you, beloved. He will defend you and protect you. Sometimes he will discipline you and chasten you, but he will do it in love. He will not fly off the handle. Right? Sometimes, as parents, we might get a little frustrated with our children, which is not good. When we fly off the handle, that's not good. But God isn't like that. He doesn't go through emotional upswings. He disciplines us in love. He chastens us in love. And remember that he cares for you. Again, creator of the heavens and the earth cares for you. Well, what are we and what are we and can do as adopted children? What are we to do as adopted children? What can we do as adopted children? Well, first, we are to revere him as our Father. We are to have a reverent respect for God. There have been times over the years where I've heard people use such loose language about God, and there's no reverence there for him. Malachi 1:6 says this, "A son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I'm my father, where is my honor?" So as his children, we are to honor him. We are to revere him. We are to respect him. As we pray, or as we are taught to pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be your name." We pray that God help us to revere and honor your name in all our life. So we're to revere him as our Father. We are to imitate him. In one place, Paul writes, as dearly beloved children, imitate him. I'm paraphrasing. But we're to imitate him. I see this often among children, right? Where a child might imitate an older child, do the same thing that they do. Or a child wants to imitate you, and you're sitting there, usually it's imitating in like food preparation. They don't always want to necessarily imitate in the washing of dishes. But sometimes that happens too. And what happens? Child gets up, wants to get a stool, pull it right side the sink, wants to help. Okay. Back in the day, older children, people used to wash dishes by hand. Okay. So you sit there and you're washing the dishes. A child comes up aside and, yeah, they're only like 3 or 4 years old, but they want to help. And what happens? They get all drenched. You get all drenched. But they want to imitate you. And as beloved children of God, as adopted children, we are to imitate our Father. We are to obey him. Right? As children, what do? We are to obey our parents. For this is right in the Lord. Well, if we're to obey our earthly parents, how much more are we to obey our Heavenly Father? So to obey him. We are to submit to his discipline. Hebrews 12:5. "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him." There are times where God, as your Father, will discipline you. And when that happens, submit to his discipline. Examine yourselves. Ask for forgiveness. But don't begrudge him. Finally, we can go to God as our Father. I just find this truth to be most striking. To think that we can go to him. That we can go to him and approach him as our Father. I really don't think we can emphasize that enough. In the story of the prodigal son, when the prodigal son comes to his senses, what does he say? He says, "I will get up and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. You see, we can go to him. We can go to him as our father. And we ought to go to him as such, as his adopted children. So we have seen then, this morning, what is adoption? We saw how it is an act of God's free grace, whereby we received in the number and have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. And we learned that it was possible because of God's love and of his grace, and that it's based, it's grounded in Christ. It is through Christ that we are adopted, and we receive it by faith and repentance. We then saw the privileges of being adopted as children of God, the blessings that we receive as children of God, being part of his family, being the affections, being the objects of his love. We've seen that as our Father, God is compassionate, that he defends us, that he disciplines us, and that he cares for us. And that in response, as children, we're to revere him, imitate him, obey him, submit to him, and go to him as our Father. Well, this is what adoption is all about. So let me ask you this simple question. Are you a adopted child of God? Are you an adopted child of God? I had read earlier in Galatians 3:26, that for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So are you a adopted child of God? Well, how do we know this? Well, have you turned from your sinful ways? Have you repented? Have you turned from your sin and have you turned unto Christ? Have you seen how ugly your sin is? Have you turned from your sinful ways? And have you turned unto Christ? Have you believed in him? Have you believed that Jesus Christ is God's Son? That he lived, died, and rose again and ascended into heaven? Because if you have, if you are trusting in Christ, if you have believed in him, then you are a child of God. That's what the text says. That we are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We're not sons of God through some merit of our own. We're not sons of God because of who we are born to. I was kind of smirked when... Where is he? Where did Marcus go? Oh, okay. I smirked a little when Marcus said we're growing the church by one child at a time. I smirked a little because the church doesn't, obviously the church doesn't grow that way, and I know that's not what he meant. But I smirked a little bit. When we become children of God, the church of God grows as people come to faith in Christ Jesus, as God does a work in their life. So how now shall we live? We're children of God. We looked at some of the duties that we have. So how shall we now live? Well, live to please your Heavenly Father. You know, there's that age with our children, right? Where all they want to do is please mommy and daddy, right? And then there becomes an age where that may not happen as much. Have you parents experienced that? Some of you parents? No, it's not in their head, so I guess no one's experienced it. Well, I've experienced it. There's that phase. So in some respects, when the scriptures talk about have that childlike faith, right? We need to have that disposition that we want to please our Heavenly Father. God, how can I please you? Should be our call. Should be that desire that we have. Cultivate your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Listen to him. And by that I mean, be in the scriptures. Be under the preaching of the word. As the word is read and as the word is taught and as the word is preached, listen to what God is saying in his word. So part of a relationship with your father is listening, but it's also talking. Talk to him in prayer. Tell him your burdens. Tell him your woes. He will listen to you. When no one else will, he will listen to you. So go to him. Cultivate that relationship as a child.
Well, let me end by sharing a verse, a phrase from a hymn. I was once an outcast stranger on earth, a sinner by choice, an alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe, and a crown. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. When Jesus my Savior, with Jesus my Savior, I am a child of the King. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this wonderful blessing of adoption. And Father God, we ask that if there's any here in our midst who are not one of your children, we pray that you would work on their heart, that you would indeed give them the new birth so that they might come to you and believe in you and rest in you as their Lord and as their Savior. Father God, I pray that you'd help each one of us to live as children of God, beloved, loved by you. Father, that we would seek to imitate you in all that we do, that we would humble ourselves and obey you, that we would submit to your correction and your discipline, that, Father, that we would indeed come to you knowing that you will hear us, knowing that you're compassionate, knowing that you're kind and loving. Father, may we come to you knowing that you are our Father. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this time, and we commit these things into your care. Through Christ's name, we pray. Amen.